morning or afternoon, I don't know. Afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm so excited to be here to be with my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Worship with you all is amazing. Our worship team, off the hook. Off the hook. I'm so happy to be a part of Wave Church. And our pastors, Pastor Keno and Megan, y'all are amazing. We love, love, love you. Love serving under your leadership. If you love your pastors, give it up for your pastors. Give it up. Give it up. All right, so today we're going to read some scripture. We'll pray a little bit and we'll talk. Is that cool? So if you have your Bible, you can grab it, or your phone, whatever it is. Stay standing. We'll read together while we're standing. We're going to read from John chapter 15. John 15. Guess I should turn to it. Brandon, open your Bible. John 15. And we're going to, this part of scripture that we're looking at, it's actually when Jesus is talking with his disciples. It's in the middle of a really long conversation that he's having with them before he goes to the cross. So this particular part, John 15, Jesus is giving an analogy of the disciples to some plants. So it's a little bit of a botany lesson, or horticulture, if you will. So I'll read the first 8 verses of John 15, and it reads, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for an opportunity to be here, God, to worship you, God, to serve, God, in the house, God, and to hear from you. God, we pray, Lord, that you would take this word, this one little word, God, and that you would divide it up, God, that you would God, that you would make it special to each and every one of us. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts, God. God, that wherever we are, God, that you will help us to get to our next step in you. God, I lift up people who don't know you yet. I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone in here who hasn't made a decision for you, who hasn't made you Lord of their life, God, that today would be their day. God, I pray that you will help me to get out of the way, help Trey to get out of the way, God, that you might speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You can be seated. Thank you. So my grandma had what people used to call a green thumb. I don't know what people call it now, but she had a green thumb. It's where when you're really, really good with plants, you know, you can like, she could like walk past something dead and it would just like come to life. She was just really good with plants. As a matter of fact, I remember this one time where she was in my parents' neighborhood, and we lived like an hour away from my grandparents. And she was just walking through the neighborhood and she saw a tree that she really, really liked. So she went up to this neighbor, she did not know them, and she asked them for a piece of their tree. And they actually said yes. So she like took out, I don't know, pocket knife, Swiss Army knife, whatever. It was my grandmother. She just had it like that. And she took a piece of this person's tree. And by the time my grandmother died, I lie to you not, she had just a row of these trees on her property an hour away. She was just that good with plants. Well, with all the plants that she had indoor plants, she had outside plants, all these different kinds of plants. With all the plants that she had and all their beauty and all their splendor, do you know that I never once went up to one of these plants and said to them, "You are looking amazing. Like, look at you, Rosebush. You are awesome." I never did that, even though they were beautiful and amazing. What I did, though, I gave all the credit to my grandmother. She was the gardener. In this verse that we're talking about, John 15, Jesus is doing something very similar. He's talking about us, the branches connected to the vine, Jesus, and how we bear fruit, but that fruit gives glory to God. My grandmother's name was synonymous, if you will, with the plants that she had and the fruit that they bear. We produce fruit just like like in this example that Jesus gives, we produce fruit because we're connected to the vine. And God, the gardener, takes care of each and every one of us. He takes care to cut back and to cut away, to prune, so that all the people who see the fruit that we bear can give him all of the glory. So we're going to take a closer look at John 15 so we can get a clear understanding of what it looks like to be branches bearing fruit to the glory of God. By the time Trey and I are done talking, we should have a firmer grasp on what it means to be planted, to be productive, and to be prosperous. So that's what we're going to talk about. If you had to title this, that's all it is. Planted, productive, and prosperous. So what does God want? Point number one, if you're taking notes, point one is planted. God wants us planted. John 15:4 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." God wants us planted, immovable, steadfast. Very simply, in order for us to ever bear any fruit at all, we have got to remain connected to the vine. If we are to grow, we have to first be planted. No tree ever yields fruit without first being planted. Does anybody in here eat grapes? Like green grapes, red grapes, you eat grapes. Even if you don't eat them, we all know that grapes are sold in the grocery store, the market. They're still on the stem when they're sold. And then you take them home, you may wash them off, but you leave them on the stem. Did you know that while the grapes are connected to the stem, they get nutrients from the stem? The grapes get nutrients from the stem, the leftover nutrients. But those stems do not produce more grapes. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or thought about it. Like, you don't open up your fridge and look in at your grapes and say, wow, I have twice as many grapes as I had when I bought them. That doesn't happen because the stem is no longer connected to the vine. The vine is the life source. It's a thing that has the roots that grow deep into the soil. You know, and the soil has all the nutrients there. It's out there with the sunlight, and that's how it produces the grapes. That doesn't happen in your fridge. It doesn't happen in the grocery store because the stem is not connected to the vine. So no new grapes appear. In order for that to happen, the branch would have to be connected to the vine. In other words, you and I, we can last a little bit longer, like those grapes that last like a week and a half to 2 weeks. We can last a little bit longer living off of the leftover nutrients of what once was. But in order for us to continue to grow and to produce, we have got to remain connected to the vine. So what is it that gets in our way of being planted? Because there's always something that hinders us from being planted. And one of those things is fear. Think about it. You know yourself so well. You know your faults. You know your sin. You know your struggles. And it's hard, honestly, to just be transparent and vulnerable with people. Sometimes you might be afraid to actually see other people. If you know that you can be a little messed up, you know that people can also be a little messed up. So sometimes fear gets in the way of us being planted. So what does it look like for us to be planted? I have four thoughts about what it might look like for us to be planted. And one of them is cultivating a relationship with Jesus. That's just doing the things that you do in a relationship to develop and maintain intimacy. So that means talking with God. It means spending time getting to know him by reading his word. It means listening to his spirit and being obedient to his ways, cultivating a relationship with Jesus. It's just one of the ways that helps us to be planted. Another one of them is coming to church. And it seems so churchy for me to tell people at church to come to church, but it's true because this is where we are encouraged. This is where, not only that, but this is where we have encounters with God that when we leave from this place, we are empowered to face the world and to bring God glory at work, at school, at home, with our friends, right? This is where all of that stuff happens. We share the good reports week in and week out of all the great things that God has done. We leave encouraged, we leave faith-filled, and God is glorified. So coming to church, it's one of those ways that we remain and that we are planted. Another one is community groups, small groups. This is where life happens, right? Anybody in a community group? Give it up for community groups. This is where you're there for one another through the highs, through the lows, on the mountaintops, in the valleys, right? You celebrate birthdays. You celebrate all the things. You mourn together at the appropriate times. Community groups are just another way for us to remain, for us to be connected, to be planted. And then my last one I'm thinking of is being committed to serving in God's house and to giving. Serving and giving in God's house. This is how we remain, because honestly, if we, as we are children of God, we realize that God, our Father, this is His house, so it's our home, and we are happy to contribute to it. So those are some of the ways that we remain, that we are planted. Bottom line, first of all, God wants us planted. Get planted first, and then the growth will happen. Speaking of growth, not only does God want us planted, but He wants us productive. So point number two is productive. Productive. John 15:2 said, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Can you believe that we, the branches, can be connected to Jesus, the vine, and still not produce fruit? It seems wild to think about it, but how many of us have ever been in a relationship where when we get out of that relationship, we wonder why we were ever in it to begin with? Like, it was just like a waste of time. I mean, maybe the person was fun and maybe they were a good conversationalist or cute or whatever, but it added no value to our lives. That's happened to most of us, right? Or what about a job? Did you know that you can be in a high-paying career with the ability to live comfortably and still feel unfulfilled because your job's not producing in you the kind of fruit that will last? Or what about when you first came to Jesus? There were things in you that were not pleasing to God. That could be even you now. Maybe you just came to Jesus, and maybe there are things that are not pleasing to God, but God loves you anyway. Like, God loves you anyway, even though there's stuff about you that, you know, does not honor Him. Let me pause. God loves you anyway. I just want to make sure everybody, like, He loves you because He loves you, because He loves you, because He loves you. And there's nothing that you can do that would make Him love you anymore. There's nothing that you could do that would make Him love you any less. He loves you, and He loves you so much that He doesn't want you to just stay where you are. He wants to see you fruitful. God wants you to be productive. Maybe you find yourself making excuses for the things that you do. Maybe you say, like, that's just the way I am. That's just how I am. I'm just made that way. Well, allow me to encourage you. God wants you planted, and God also wants you producing fruit. In a room full of people, I can only imagine the things that God wants to cut off. I can only imagine the things that God is trying to prune in our own lives. What about that unproductive relationship? Maybe it is a fruitless career or an unhealthy habit. Maybe it isn't destructive at all. Maybe it just isn't God's best for you. Maybe it's a thought pattern or an unrealistic expectation of you or somebody else. Not only does He want you to be connected to the vine, He wants you to produce fruit. The Bible says that branches that do not bear fruit are cut off, and those that do bear fruit, He prunes or cuts back so that they will be even more fruitful. I've heard it said like this: you're pruned if you do, and you're pruned if you don't. So why don't we willingly accept the cutting back that God does? Honestly, we just don't trust God. We don't trust that God has our best in mind, if you're being honest with yourself. So what should we do? What do we do when God wants to cut back and when God wants to prune? We've got to get good with God. We got to make room for what God is trying to do in us. I think we ought to just get out of God's way. Honestly, we can choose to hold on to those things that God is trying to cut back and cut off and just have to deal with whatever happens after, or we can choose to step aside and be obedient and trust that God has good in mind for us. So let me tell you what will happen when you do step aside and get out of God's way. I have to be honest. It will be painful. Cutting hurts. You know what? It may even leave a scar. But I promise you, you will be better for it. Cutting off and cutting back will lead to productivity. I have a few scars of my own, but saying yes to God in the area of cutting as it pertains to relationships has put me in a place where God is the object of my affection first. I no longer idolize people or my relationships with them because I have gotten out of God's way and allowed Him to do some cutting back and cutting away so that He can produce in me fruit that will last. Maybe it isn't relationships for you. Maybe it is a sin issue. Maybe you think you're too far gone in this one area that you'll never be able to get to where God wants you. Maybe you've believed the lie that even your relationship with God can only go so far because of that one thing. Let me remind you that God loves you. God loved you before the foundations of the earth. He loved you before you ever loved him. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate you from his love. God wants you planted, and he wants you productive. Allow me to admonish you to step aside and let God cut back and do some pruning. So what does that look like? We've got to cut off toxic relationships and fruitless friendships, just to be frank. If they aren't pushing you along to greater in God, you gotta let it go. And it is hard and it does hurt, but you leave better for it. Another thing we've got to do is we've got to consult with God about our career and our life changes. See, a lot of times what we do is we decide to make a move or make a change, and then we ask God to bless it. We should do it in the reverse, right? You should talk with God first. He's the creator. He's the one who made you. He knows how you're made and what you need to do and where you need to go. We should consult with him. God, where would you have me? What do you want? Does this even align with the vision that you have for my life? And then the last thing is counsel. Counsel, counsel, counsel. Wise counsel from mature believers and biblical accountability are vital to your productivity. A good mentor has the ability to call you up out, but they also have the ability to call you up. So what is God trying to prune in you? Are you getting in his way? Are you fighting back with God? Or are you stepping aside and allowing him to do some pruning in you?
Cool. Man, who in here wants to be planted? Who in here wants to be productive? I'm going to say that again. Who in here wants to be planted? Who wants to be productive? Amen, amen. And so the third point is, man, God doesn't just want us to be planted. God just doesn't want us to bear some fruit, but God wants us to bear much fruit. God wants us to be prosperous. John 15, verse 7 through 8 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My goodness, ask whatever you wish. Oh my God. And it will be done for you. And this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So not only should we stay connected to the vine and bear fruit that will last, God wants us to bear much fruit. When I look at this passage, I'm not going to lie to you. As we were studying, can you put 15, 7, and 8 back up? As I was studying this and just trying to think about what I would share about prosperity, that whatever you wish really stuck out in my mind. That's a promise from Jesus to his disciples that whatever they wish, if they ask it, it will be done for them. You all don't, like there's a promise that Jesus himself is saying, hey, whatever you wish, whatever you ask of me, I will do it for you. Man, this is a serious promise. Jesus is saying that if we remain in him and his words remain in us, then we'll have whatever we wish or ask and bear much fruit. We will prosper. It could sound like this is like a ticket to get whatever you want. This could sound like a little bit like Aladdin. Have y'all seen it? Anybody seen a new one? The old one. Anybody seen the old one? Which one is better, the old one or the new one? Old one. Has anybody not even seen the old one? Don't tell on yourself. Okay, cool. I think the old one's better. But it could sound like, man, we're actually giving our requests and asking God to do things, and we're putting him in a lamp and then rubbing it and getting whatever we want. But that's not what Jesus is really getting at here. What Jesus is getting is that we're not lowering God the Father to a genie who grants whatever we wish. What Jesus is trying to get us to do is actually elevate our thinking, elevate our thoughts, elevate our ask. When we ask God those things, we actually are asking the very things that God already wants to do in our lives, the very thing that God wants, that's already promised in his word that he wants to do. And so it's that alignment of thinking, it's that alignment of God's principles, that alignment of God's ways, so that when we ask correctly. And we're not asking from selfish ambition. We're not thinking about me and mine, but we're thinking about what's important to God. We're thinking about God's priority. And so as you read this, talking about remaining in me and my words remaining in you, I'm going to start there. the benefits of consistent communion with Jesus is alignment of our thinking and our words. I'm going to say that again. The benefits of consistent communion with Jesus is alignment of our thinking and our words. Consistent intimacy, more specifically here, studying the scriptures and internalizing his word brings a perspective and an understanding of God's thinking, God's desires, and God's emotions. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 says it like this. I'm talking about the man that's prosperous. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it and day and night. Over time, as we spend time, effort, just learning God's scriptures, as Pastor Megan mentioned earlier, I'm like, it can be tough to understand what God is trying to say, what God's trying to communicate through the scriptures. But as Joy said earlier, guess what? We got mature believers that can provide guidance, that can sit with you, and there are tools and resources to help you break down the word and understand what God's saying. But as we meditate on it, it begins to change our perspective. We begin to see the world differently. We begin to look at our challenges differently. We begin to look at our relationships differently. We begin to look at our careers differently. We begin, and by changing the way we think, we begin to change the way we speak. We begin to change the things that we say. We begin to change the things that we pray. And so it's really important that we have that consistent time and really understanding who God is. And, anybody in here know what a radio is? Most of the time when I get in cars with other people, they never have the radio playing, just being honest. People don't listen to the radio anymore, right? Most people listen to Spotify. Tell me I'm wrong. Who listens to the radio regularly in their car? Raise your hand. Who listens to the radio regularly, like in your room or just anybody? Raise your hand. See, nobody listens to the radio. Spotify radio, that doesn't count. Real radio. And so, yeah, I'm showing my age. I'm showing my age a little bit, aren't I? So I listen to the radio every morning, pretty much. Yep, take my kids to school, listen to the radio. I like this. This may sound crazy, but I actually like to be surprised about what's going to come next. I don't like that. I don't curate my playlist so I know exactly what's going to happen. I like to be surprised. I know. A new thing, right? We don't do that in 2022. I actually like surprises. But as I think about a radio, here's the downside to the radio, which is why a lot of people, one of the downsides to the radio, is that the signal is spotty. So based off of how you're traveling, like there's this one place on Poway Parkway, for anybody that's from the South, y'all know what I'm talking about. Courthouse Road, right when you pass the Courthouse Road sign, like the signal just like your phone goes out, the radio goes out, and it's like, dang. And you're listening to this song that you like, and then you get past, and then it comes back, you're like, oh my gosh, I missed my favorite part. And it's because the radio signal can be spotty. So similarly, if we're not constantly in God's word and we're not constantly in communication and in tune with what God is saying, if we go in like, hey, spend 5 minutes here, or you know, I'm gonna read this week and then I'm gonna read next week, or I'm gonna read this month and then I'm gonna read next month one time, or I'm gonna read this year, but the next time I read is 2 or 3 years down the road, we never have constant communication and we're not constantly dialed in and tuned into what God has to say for us. And so we won't fully understand what God's trying to say because it's intermittent. The power is in the connection. The power is in being constantly connected to the source. If you're constantly connected to the source, it actually begins to get in your spirit. You actually begin to think just like God. The things you speak, you begin to speak like God, and you're almost talking as if like it's God literally speaking through you. So where you kind of like what Pastor Megan said, like God sounding like yourself. It's almost like your kids. My kids are so, part of it's genetics, but part of it is that they hear Joy and I so much. Our kids sound just like us. We should sound, you're laughing because you know what I'm talking about, don't you? We should sound just like God. And the only way we can sound just like God is if we're spending time with God. And so could it be the reason we don't receive the answers to the prayers that we pray is because our prayers aren't lined up with God's will for us, because we don't know what God's will for us is. And so then we put that on God. We say, God, you know what? Man, you're not delivering for me. You're not showing up the way you said you would show up. But perhaps could it be that God never told you that he's going to show up in the way that you think he was going to show up? Because you haven't spent time in God's word, because we haven't spent time understanding what God's will for us. Have we cross-referenced our prayer list with God's promises? Have we cross-referenced our prayer list with God's principles? Have we cross-referenced our prayer list with the things that the ways of God, the thinking of God, the thoughts of God, the principles of God, the things that God is calling us to do? Because if we haven't cross-referenced that list, let's not put that on God. Perhaps our perspective needs to change. We serve a God who's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We serve a God who's perfect. So the problem is not on us. The challenge is not with God, but the challenge is on how we're seeing and how we're thinking. And so let's make sure that we're cross-referencing our prayer list, our request from God, with the promises of God. And so how does that come? Practically studying the scriptures, learning what God says is a priority, and learning his ways. Amen? The other thing I get from this, man, is that God actually wants us to ask. True prosperity, much fruit, and fruit that lasts comes from God. But we must ask. But we must ask. When our thinking and our words are in alignment because we spent the time understanding who God is, what he says about us, we are free to ask whatever we wish according to his will. And we can be confident knowing that when we ask, what we've asked will be granted because we've spent time with the Father. We're just praying the things that God has already said to us. We're just praying for the hope that God has already promised for us. We're just praying for the peace that God has already promised us. We're just praying for the healing that God's already promised us. We're just praying for the community that God has already promised us. We're just praying from the deliverance that God has already promised us. We're just praying from the deliverance from anxiety that God's already promised us. We're just praying to God the things that he's already promised us that we've read in his word. And as we perfect that ask, guess what? God's going to deliver and show up. And so, man, we know what he wants. In order for us to bear much fruit, we have to ask. Man, I know it seems simple, but it's important. The Bible is clear that we have not sometimes because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. Asking demonstrates a need for help. It demonstrates a need. You know what, God? I can't do this without you. And asking demonstrates the place of humility that God desires to bless. Man, so many passages of scripture that talk about, man, the place of humility. That's the place where God blesses, the place of humility and honor. Humility comes before honor. And the reverse is true as well. Pride goeth before a fall. And so this humble place is really important for us to make sure we're asking. And so you know who never struggles to ask for things? My kids. My kids never struggle to ask for things. Brandon is laughing, but it is true. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to probably be talking to some of you after this message, talking about, you know, what God has done in the service and worship was great and all of that. And one of my kids is going to come up and they're going to ask me, what are we having for lunch? They're going to ask me for a cupcake. They're going to ask me, can they spend time with their friends? Kids don't have a challenge with asking. The reason why they don't have a challenge with asking is because they spent the time with Joy and I over the last, whatever, 6, 7, 10 plus years. They know we love them. They know that we care about them. They know that we have their best in mind. So they're just going to ask. And they know that they can't do it without us. They know that, you know what, if mom and dad can't do it, it's not going to happen for us. What if we had that same posture as the children of God? A posture that, you know what, let me be real with myself. I'm not asking God because I think I can do it on my own. Kids don't think about necessarily what they know until they start becoming teenagers, then it changes. But where my kids are right now, they're not thinking about what they know. You know, we think about our credentials. We think about our relationships. We think about the degree that we have. We think about our network. We think about our Instagram. We think about our business. We think about, you know, the people that we know. We think those are the things that are going to get us all the way there. And you know what that ends up doing? That ends up creating a spirit of it's about me and what I can do. And because you have that spirit, you're never going to ask God. And the fruit that lasts, you got to ask God for that. We've got a couple things. We've got to be in that consistent communion with him so that we can learn how he thinks, learn how God walks, how God talks, how God, like, what's learn the perspective of God. What's God thinking about? What's God's priority? And then we just got to ask. We've got to ask. And if we ask with the right heart and the right spirit, knowing what God wants, I believe that God will answer. And so with that, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up on stage as we close. I want to be honest with you. One of the things that I've struggled with is this concept of asking. I've struggled with this concept of asking because, to be honest, I feel like it's a bit selfish for me to ask. And so to avoid coming off as, you know, it's about me, God, I'm not going to ask you to bless my career. Notice I never said we couldn't ask God to bless our career. It's all about the heart and the spirit behind why we're asking God to do that. You know, I can get nervous about, you know what, God, is that? Am I asking for a promotion because of my ego? You know, am I asking to be productive just so I can have a whole lot of money and, you know, and make it about me and so I can pass down money to generations? Those are good things. God says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So these are good principles. But let me be honest with you, if God gives us all of these things, if he blesses us in our businesses, if he blesses us in our families, if he blesses us in our relationships, if he blesses us in our schooling at school, if he blesses us in our health, if he blesses us in our finances, for just the sake of us, we've missed what God is trying to do here. And so at the end of that passage, John chapter 15:7-8, it talks about God doing this because he wants the world to see that we are his disciples. Showing yourselves to be my disciples. That's the why. Matthew 5:16 says this: in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So when we bear this fruit, the fruit isn't for us. The fruit is for others to experience. The fruit is for others to know that God is who he says he is. And by the grace of God, that when people see that, they'll glorify God. And guess what? They get to experience the relationship with Jesus that we have. Man, give the Lord a hand clap of praise if you were blessed by the word today.